This week's parsha is Parshas Vayera, and we will be focusing on tonight the end of the parsha, which is Akedas Yitzchak, where Hashem tells Abraham to bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice. So it's on page 100. And Perek Chaf Beis Paskal begins, Vayihi Achar Hadvarim Ha'ilah, and it was after these things, Vayikim Nisaras Abraham, and Hashem tested Abraham. So these four words, and it was after these things, after which things, what are you referring to? So if you take a look at the top Rashi says, Yesh Mabaisenu Imrim, there are those from our sages that say, Achar Devarav Shal Satan. The things here, or the word devarim here means, what typically devarim means, which is words. This is following the words of the satan. Shoyim akatrig v'omer. The satan was complaining against Abraham and saying, Mikol se'uda sha'asa Abraham, from the entire meal that Abraham made in honor of Yitzchak being weaned, v'hikru l'panecha par echara ayel echad. Abraham did not bring for you one cow or one ram. The satan was trying to point out that Abraham Avinu, at his party in honor of Yitzchak's being weaned, brought no sacrifices to Hashem. What kind of business is that? Says the satan to the Rabbi Nishal about Abraham. Omaloi, so Abraham responds, Omaloi, so Rabbi Nishal says back to the satan, Klum Asa Ela B'Shvo B'Nai, do you think he's only doing this for his son? Ilu Hayisi Omer V'Zvach Oysai L'Fanai, were I to tell him, offer him before me, he would not hold back. You're complaining about the fact that Abraham doesn't bring a carbon in honor of his son's birth or his son's being weaned. I'm telling you that Abraham here is not doing for his son. It's all about his service to me. And if I would tell him to bring his son for a carbon, he'd bring it. So according to the first explanation of Rashi, Achar Devar Ma'ela, after these things, means after the satan's complaint to Hashem about Abraham, Hashem tests Abraham to show the satan that the lack of, that Abraham, he would even be willing to bring his son as a sacrifice to me. Okay. Now, the thing is like this, though. The thing that we have to understand about this Rashi is that the satan complains, Abraham, that bring a carbon to you. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, do you think he's just doing it for his son? If I were to ask him to bring his son as a sacrifice, he would bring. Okay, but that doesn't address the satan's problem. The satan's problem is, why didn't Abraham bring a carbon? The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't seem to answer that question, why he didn't bring a carbon. He just says, you want a carbon, you know, if I told Abraham to bring his son as a carbon, he'd bring him as a carbon. But that's not addressing the issue. If the issue was, why didn't he bring a carbon, what's the answer to that? That's one question. That's the question on this first part of Rashi.
Was he in the mode of bringing korbanos? Because it says he killed Mizbeach.
Which was for what?
Except for Bris Ben Abisarim. I don't see things where it says he brought a korban.
At other times? In other places?
He killed Mizbeach.
For what purpose? For what purpose?
Like a marker, I think. It doesn't say anything about bringing a carbon.
Typically a Mizbeach altar is a carbon, and we know that Noach brought carbonus, we know that the Marisha brought carbonus. So carbonus is not like it's a strange thing. Carbonus exists.
Okay.
And therefore, the satan says, why didn't Avraham bring a carbon to show his thanks to Rabbeinu Shlomo? Okay. Now, V'yesh Eimer, there are those that say, Achar Devarim Shal Yishmuel, that when it says after these things, or after these Devarim, which literally means words, it means after the words of Yishmael. Shoyim Espar al Yitzchak. That he was trying to bring honor to himself, he was trying to glorify himself over Yitzchak. Shemal ben Yigal Hashem v'Alei Micha. That he received his bris at the age of 13 and he didn't refuse. Omar lo Yitzchak, Yitzchak said to him, Be'eber acha tamei areini. You're trying to show me up on one part of your body. Ilu amelei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zvach Atmecha Lefanai. If the Rebbeinu Shlom were to say to me, offer yourself before me as a sacrifice, I would not hold back. So Yishmael is trying to glorify himself over Yitzchak by saying, hey look, I had a bris and I was 13 and I didn't even fight back. You were 8 days old. You didn't even have a choice. You couldn't even fight back if you wanted to. And Yitzchak says, oh, you're trying to go ahead and say that you're so great because of what you did for one part of your body? I would be willing to give up my entire body for the Rebbeinu Shlom if you would say so. Okay, that's the second. That's the second explanation that Rashi brings. So both these explanations are trying to explain when this part of the parasha begins, and it was after these words, right? After these things, what are these things? So the first plan of Rashi is these things are the Satan's complaint why Avram didn't bring a carbon. The second explanation is as to it's following the words of Yishmael, in which he's trying to glorify himself over Yitzchak, and Yitzchak responded to him, I would be ready to be a sacrifice to Hashem. Whichever explanation you use, it comes out that these first four words, and it was after these things Hashem tested Abraham, that whatever these things are resulted in Abraham being tested. This is what resulted in Abraham being tested. Either it's the Satan's complaints or it's Ishmael's words. There is the commentary of the Rashbam. The commentary of the Rashbam here tells us that again, if the Pasuk said, so the Rashbam approaches like this. And it was after these things. So the Rashbam says, anytime it says, and it was after these things, that what we're about to have now is a continuation of what we just said previously. It's a continuation from the previous episode. The previous episode is after Yitzchak's already born, after Hagar is sent out from the house of Ishmael, before Yitzchak is born, we know that Abraham lands up in the land of the Plishtim. Avimelech takes Sarai as to thinking that it's that he can take her for a wife. He also realizes, he finds out that it's not Abraham's wife, it's Abraham's sister, it's Abraham's wife. And right before the Akedah, the Torah depicts how Avimelech comes to Abraham to make a peace treaty. Take a look back. On page 98. Vahi b'Esa, he was at that time, Vayimra Avimelech, and Abimelech and Fichal, his general, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything that you do. And now, swear to me by God here, you shall not act in falsehood with me, my grandson, like the kindness that I did with you to allow you to live in the land here, you shall do with me the Ma'at HaShagar Taba and with the land that you live in. Basically, Abimelech was asking for a peace treaty. But a peace treaty that was not just going to be between him and Avram, but between him and Avram, their children, and their grandchildren. So the Rashbam says, Zavayhi Achara Devarim Ha'ilef, when this part of the parasha begins and it was after these things, it means that the Akedah is a continuation from the previous episode of Abraham making this peace treaty with Avimelech. And on that, the Rashbam writes, Afkan, Acher HaDavarim Shekaras Avraham Bris Avimelech. After these things, referring to the fact that Abraham made a treaty with Avimelech, Loi ulininoi unachtoi, to him, his children and grandchildren, shall Avram, with him and his children and grandchildren of Abraham, benasamai sheva kibaseis hatzayim, it says that Abraham gave Avimelech seven sheep as a sign that the wells that he dug belonged to him. V'chara apay shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu alzais. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very displeased with this. We don't see any indication in the Pesukim about that, but this is what the Rashbam says. HaKadosh Baruch was very displeased. Shrei Eretz Pelishtim Mechlal Gvul Yisrael. The land of the Pelishtim is within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tziva Aleihem. The Rebbeinu Shlom said regarding the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, Leisachaya Kol Neshama. You shall not keep any of them alive. You're not supposed to make a peace treaty with these people. These are people that eventually your grandchildren are supposed to annihilate. And therefore, you're making this treaty for you, your children, your grandchildren. It would have been one thing maybe if Abraham would have just made it for himself. But he's making it for his descendants also. Lochem v'alekim nisa es Abraham. Therefore the Pasuk says, Hashem nisa es Abraham. which he explains to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically started up with Abraham. He showed his displeasure with Abraham. Kolaymar, meaning to say, Niska Isa beben shenasati lecha lechais bris beinechem uvein beneihem. You acted arrogantly, haughtily, with your son that I gave you to make a treaty between you and them, meaning you and the Plishtim, for your descendants. Vatalech va'aleyu le'ayla ure'el ma'ha'ila krisis brishocha. And now go bring up as a sacrifice and see how your treaty is going to work out. I mean, according to the Rashbam, Hashem is basically giving Abraham he's shaking Abraham up, and he's telling Abraham, no, you went ahead, now I gave you a son, you're going ahead now, and you've acted arrogantly with that son, you have a son now, so you start making treaties that go not just for yourself, but for your descendants. If that's what you do with your son, and that's when you try to make treaties that last for your son and all your descendants, you know what? Give him back. Bring it up as a sacrifice. And then let's see how your treaties work. Hashem was very upset with the treaty that he made with Avimelech, a treaty that, again, was for his descendants and their descendants. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you tried to make treaties for your descendants, inappropriate treaties with your descendants. So you know what? Bring up your descendant for a sacrifice, and see what your treaties that you made for your future are going to be. So according to the Rashbam is saying that the connection or the introduction, what prefaced the Abraham being tested, was the treaty that he made with Avimelech, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu deemed inappropriate. Because his descendants and Avimelech's descendants should not have a peace treaty together, because these are the people that Hashem wants driven out of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So we have three explanations as to what led to the Akedah. So I want to share with you Rabbi Tzvi Solomon's commentary on these three matters that preceded Akedah Yitzchak. Now, I mentioned to you before that on Rashi's first explanation, which is the fact that the Sultan is complaining, why didn't Avraham bring a sacrifice, that Rabbi Hashem doesn't seem to respond to that. Hashem doesn't answer that. The Rebbe Shalom says, basically he says, Satan, you want a carbon from Abraham? If I told Abraham to bring a son for a carbon, he would do so. What's the conversation here? What's the discussion? What's the answer to the question? So, Rebbe Tzvi Solomon cites a commentary on the Gemara called the Ben Yehoyada. Ben Yehoyada is a commentary on Agadah to Gemaras. And the Ben Yehoyada says regarding this Rashi, which is really based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the following. It says like this. When a person is blessed with a child, so very often you rejoice over having a child because the child satisfies your a certain worldly need, in the sense of everyone wants to have continuity, everyone wants to have a child, and there's a certain aspect of fulfilling you're trying to fulfill, it's a physical need, right? It's a normal human need to have a child, to want to have a child, to have that continuity. And when you have a child, you rejoice over that need that's fulfilled. But it's a physical need, okay? And typically, the joy is primarily that. At the same time, you also know that you've been given the opportunity by being given a child, that child could actually be a very big benefit for you, or there's a very big aspect about this child regarding your Olam HaBa, your world to come. Because if you raise that child in a way that child benefits the Jewish people, so then, and you raise the child to be that way, so then it comes out that this child was basically a mitzvah given to you to be able to mold that child into a servant of Hashem, to another servant of Hashem, to fill Hashem's world with people that will serve him. That is a mission and a mitzvah that's given to you. And that's also part of what a person should be thinking about, and does to a degree rejoice when they have a child. But a person typically is going to be more focused on what we call the human aspect, the physical aspect. And when that is so, when a person really feels that when their joy of having a child is really about what they, so to speak, personally gain, so then what they do is they want to show their gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shalom. They know Hashem blessed them with this tremendous gift, and to show their thanks to the Rebbeinu Shalom, what do? So when you had karbanos, you brought a carbon, and when you don't have a karbanos, says the Ben Yoyada, people give tzedakah. But basically, it's reciprocation to Hashem. It's the way you show gratitude to Hashem. It's the way you reciprocate. I gained this. You gave me the child of Rebbeinu Shalom. I gained this child, this personal gain, and now I pay you back. I reciprocate with a gift back to you. But let's say you're on a very high level, and your focus on the child that you've been given is totally spiritual. Your total focus on the child is that you have been given, that Rebbeinu Shalom has now, so to speak, deposited his child by you for you to mold into a servant of Hashem. And that is what this child is about to you. It's completely l'shem shamayim. It's completely for the sake of heaven. It's not about your personal gain. It's not about your continuity or having beautiful children around you. It's about the fact that I recognize that this has been deposited by me. This has been handed over to me to mold and make to a servant of Hashem. That's what it's all about. That's what Chana was about. When Chana had Shmuel, at a young age, what did she do? She brought him to the Mishkan, to live with Eli. She gave him up. Because by her, the whole point of having a child, of having Shmuel, was to be able to create someone who will be a servant of Hashem. It wasn't about her. It wasn't about her needs. It was all about the Rebbeinu Shalom created a world for people to serve him. We have that mitzvah to produce the children and produce the children that the people that will continue to do that. And that was her entire focus. That was also Avram's focus. Avram's focus was the fact that, in essence, he doesn't look at Yitzchak as his child, but rather, it's the Rebbeinu Shalom's child that has been deposited by him to turn into a servant of Hashem. And therefore, in essence, Avraham doesn't even really have to give a sacrifice to go ahead and thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for what he gave him, because he doesn't see Yitzchak as the child that was given to him. Rather, it's the Rebbeinu Shalom's child who has been given over to Avraham to raise and to mold to being that highest servant of Hashem. And therefore, Avraham doesn't have to bring a carbon to show that I'm paying back the Rebbeinu Shalom. I'm not paying back the Rebbeinu Shalom. This is not mine. This is the Rebbeinu Shalom's child, and my job is to mold that child into that servant of Hashem. But it's like Rebbeinu Shalom lends him something. It's like he's lending you someone to do a mitzvah with. That's how Avraham sees it. So therefore, Avraham says to Ben Yehiada, if I bring a carbon, then it's going to look like my attitude about the child is, I got a child, so now I have to reciprocate back to the Rebbeinu Shalom. But that's not what it is. That's not what it is. It's all about the fact that, so to speak, the Rebbeinu Shalom has lent me this human being to mold into a servant of Hashem. And therefore, he doesn't bring the carbon. Now, the Satan is challenging that. The Satan is challenging. The Satan is saying, I don't know about that. Is that so true that Avraham is doing it totally l'shem shemayim? Avraham doesn't see Yitzchak as his son, as something that he gained, that he doesn't have to bring a sacrifice to reciprocate? Rebbeinu Shalom says, you want to see how Avraham Avinu looks at his son? Do you want me to prove to you that Avraham sees Yitzchak as my child that I lent to him, that I deposited by him to raise? Do you want to see how he doesn't see it as his child? If I tell him to bring him as a sacrifice, he's going to bring him as a sacrifice. Because he doesn't see it as his. He sees Yitzchak as the Rebbeinu Shalom's. So therefore, the Satan challenges. Where's the carbon? Where's the carbon here? Avraham received a gift, and he should bring a carbon. Says Rebbeinu Shalom, no. Avraham doesn't see Yitzchak as a gift to him. Avraham sees Yitzchak as the child of the Rebbeinu Shalom, who is being lent to him to be raised into the servant of Hashem, and therefore he doesn't need to bring a carbon. And I'll prove it to you, because I will tell him to bring him as a carbon. and he'll be willing to do so, which is the greatest proof that he doesn't see Yitzchak as his, but as the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then Rabbi Tzio cites the commentary of Rabbeinu Bechaya on what we have earlier in the parasha when Yitzchak is born. Take a look on page 94. The last pasuk on the page. Vayigdal ha'yared ve'yigamal. The child grew and was weaned. Vayas Avraham mishtegalo. When Avraham made a great feast, b'yemi gamelas Yitzchak, on the day that Yitzchak was weaned. Okay. Now before it says Avraham gave Yitzchak a bris. No mishta, no celebration mentioned there. The celebration comes after he is weaned. Not when Yitzchak is born, not after Yitzchak receives the bris, but after Yitzchak is weaned. Why? Says Rabbeinu Bechaya. And Avraham the reason why Avraham delayed making kind of celebration until after Yitzchak was weaned, the pshat is that when Yitzchak was weaned, that is when Avraham brought Yitzchak into studying Torah. Therefore, Avraham didn't want to make the celebration, the meal, not on the day of the birth, not on the day of the bris. But rather, he waited until he was weaned, so that he should rejoice with his son with the joy of Torah, with the joy of the fact that Yitzchak is now going to start learning Torah. Because once Yitzchak was weaned, niskadish liyos parish v'nivdal avedas Hashem. Once Yitzchak was weaned, he was then set aside for the service of Hashem. Umezubin liyos eilat tamima. And actually already being readied to be holy and to be worthy, being brought up as the carbon. So when Yitzchak is weaned, what is he? He's already parish. Avraham is now taking him and completely dedicating him to the service of Hashem, which is supporting what he's saying. Avraham Yitzchak. What is Avraham's plans for Yitzchak? Once Yitzchak is ready to learn Torah, Yitzchak now is completely dedicated for the service of Hashem. He's completely sanctified in the service of Hashem to be worthy of eventually being asked to be brought as an Eilat Tamima. So Abraham's actions, again, his rejoicing over Yitzchak, not at the birth, not at the bris, but at the point of time where Yitzchak is going to be studying Torah, and now actually be completely dedicated in the service of Hashem studying Torah. This works with this whole approach. Abraham is taking, just like Chana dedicates Shmuel to the service of Hashem, Abraham dedicates Yitzchak completely to the service of Hashem, and it's only at that point of time that he rejoices over Yitzchak's birth, because of the fact that now is where he is able to do with Yitzchak what he wants to do with Yitzchak, or what he's meant to do with Yitzchak, which is Yitzchak should be an Eilat Tamima. He should be raised and sanctified to be holy as a sacrifice. And therefore, Abraham's whole approach to Yitzchak is that. It's not about me. It's not about that I have a child. It's about the fact that I am now creating a holy individual, a true servant of Hashem. So the question is, why didn't he bring a carbon? The answer is, because a carbon is when you're reciprocating for something that you got. Abraham doesn't see Yitzchak that way. That's not how he sees Yitzchak. I didn't get Yitzchak. Yitzchak, so to speak, is on loan to me, deposited by me. Hashem's deposit by me to turn into a servant of Hashem. Okay. So that's the explanation of the first Rashi, the first explanation to Vayachar Devarim Ha'Elev, and it was after these words of the Satan. Then we have the second Rashi, in which Yishmael is glorifying himself over Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says, you know, I will be ready to go ahead and bring myself as a sacrifice. And to bring this out, Hashem tells Abraham, bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice. So it's very interesting that Rabbi Tzio cites the Targum Yenisim Menizio. Targum Yenisim Menizio that we have here in the Makoris Gedolos Chumash, Aramaic translation and commentary to the Chumash. The Targum Yenisim Menizio is a medrash in sorts. It adds a lot of detail to what's going on. So the Targum Edison says like this: Yishmael Amar. Yishmael says, I mean, what was this fight about? What were they fighting about? Yishmael says, oh, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. What are they fighting about exactly? So Yishmael says, Li royal yarish ani abachar. I'm supposed to be the heir of Abraham because I'm the firstborn. The Yitzchak Amar Li royal yarish. No, I'm the heir. Shani ben Agavira, but the ben Ashivcha. You're the son of the maid servant. I'm the son of the lady of the house. And let's not forget, this is not just a fight about money. This is a fight about the legacy of Abraham, which goes on till today. Heishav Yishmael. So Yishmael says, Ani hu tzadik yesh mimcha. I'm more righteous than you. Shani malti ben Yigimel. I got a bris when I was 13. The evil atzisi la'akev, but if I wanted to refrain, let her yisim ha'isenavshi. I wouldn't give myself over. You know, I could have rejected this. Va'ata namalto l'ches yamim. You got a bris in 8 days. V'shemi ilu ha'yadeya b'ach yisim ha'akev. If you'd have enough seichel to know what's going on then, you would have refused. So I'm a bigger tzaddik than you. Meaning again, I'm the one who should be the heir of Avram's legacy. Amar Yitzchak, Ata ani ben lamed vav shanim. I'm 36 years old now. Ukshayirta kadosh baruch hu l'cholama chevarai. And if the Rebbe Shalom wants all my limbs, every part of me, eneni me'akev, I would never hold back. I would never refuse. Miyad nishma devarim ha'ela. These words were immediately heard. Rabbi Kimlisa, and then Hashem approached Abraham by bringing Yitzchak as a sacrifice. So actually what's happening here is that there's a very strong philosophical debate going on here. A philosophical debate that has ramifications for world history. And as Rabbi Tzion Salomon points out, Yishmael is saying, I deserve it, and he probably had a following. And there are probably people in the world who accepted that, who agreed to that. Yeah, look at him. You know, he's firstborn, he willingly had a bris mila, he's the righteous one, he's more deserving, he's done more. Yitzchak counters and says, no, I'm ready to do more than Shmuel did and would ever do. And therefore, and to bring that out, and to show the world that, Hashem says to Abraham, bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice.
Right, wouldn't then say Hashem Nisa et Yitzchak, because it's really a test of Yitzchak's willingness to
Good point. But another thing we have to understand is that the two explanations don't necessarily, not actually arguing on each other, They're all in agreement. But that's a good point, exactly. That's a good point according to this. Why the Nisa is Abraham? It's a good point. I guess the answer could be, and it's just on a very simple basis, issue, is because, you know, Hashem doesn't say to Yitzchak, you know, slaughter yourself. It's Abraham who has to bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice, and therefore it's addressed to Abraham.
But he has to agree to it. He could say no.
Well, he did agree to it, right?
He did.
Right. So, but again, the reason we're saying Nisa is Abraham right now is because Abraham is being approached. Yitzchak is not being approached. Which really, part of Yitzchak's challenge, if you think about it, is that he has to accept from Abraham what Abraham is saying. Okay. Now, then there's the Rashbam's explanation. But Rashbam says that Abraham was sort of being punished for the fact that he made this treaty with Avimelech. So Matisyo wants to offer that the Rashbam, like he's trying to say, all these explanations are not exclusive of each other. And although he doesn't tell us what, you know, why Yitzchak, why Yitzchak needed to be tested, Rashi is saying what it is. What he wants to say over here is that the Rashbam is trying to answer the following question. We should assume that the first time Hashem told Abraham, bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice, that Abraham must have felt a little shock. He must have felt a little shock. Even if we say afterwards he accepts it, Vayashchem Avraham, Baik Avraham gets up early and he's ready to do it, besimcha, with joy and everything, we should assume that there must have been some point where Avraham is a little bit shaken up about what's being told to him. And if so, if Abraham, to some degree, you know, there's being challenged, and then there's suffering, right? If Abraham, in this challenge, at some point, has some degree of suffering, there must be a reason for it. There must be a reason why Hashem is causing some kind of suffering to Abraham. And that Rashbam says, the reason why he's being given a certain degree of suffering is because he made this treaty, which he shouldn't have done. Shouldn't have done it. So, in essence, we say that the challenge of being, so what Rabbi Tzio is trying to say is that Rashbam is not saying that the entire Akedah, excuse me, is about, you know, shaking up Abraham, right? And trying to, you know, shake him up to say, you know, what did you do this for? That's not the essence of the whole story. The essence of the whole story is the first Pshatim of Rashi, which are really positive aspects. This negative aspect that Rashbam is coming from is trying to explain, assuming that Abraham had a certain degree of tsar, of suffering, from being told to do this, why did he deserve that suffering? The answer is because of the fact that he made this treaty when he shouldn't have. When he basically acted out of place with the child that Abraham had given him by making treaties for his descendants, so Hashem says, okay, let's see if your treaty is going to last, because I'm telling you to bring your descendants as a sacrifice. That was a punishment. That was a punishment for what Abraham did. But the punishment is a punishment for the degree of tsar that Abraham has involved in this whole episode, but it's not the essence of the whole episode.
Do you think Abraham knew it? I mean, when God said bring sacrifice,
that he understood that there is this, that
yeah,
there's this connection.
Back.
According to the Rashbam,
he knew it was,
yeah, because the fact that it's coming right after the previous episode, mm-hmm. Abraham understands everything that's happening in his life and the ramifications of it. So therefore, Abraham puts the two things together.
Right away.
And that makes him realize that there's something, you know, makes him realize, oh, something must have gone, something's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the chance to think about it and realize it. Okay, but that's, like I say, that's not the whole story. Okay.
But also he went into the fire, he came out. Maybe he thought this would, you know, he would be able to come out of this also. And he actually, before he was thrown in the fire,
right.
he lived.
Right.
He knew why this was being done, but maybe he felt God's testing me, but he's not going to, you know, let me kill my son.
I don't know. Hashem says bring him for a sacrifice. That means he's got to be ready to do that.
Right.
Got to be ready to do that.
It does seem like along the way in the whole story, he caught on that he wasn't going to have to do it. Because he says things like, we're going to go and we're coming back. He says to the ones he leaves. So we're going to go and we're going to offer to God,
yeah.
And we're going to come. He says, we're coming back.
Yeah, because he's not telling them, he never told them he's suckling his son.
No, but he does say we're coming back.
But passionate, but
to,
the simple
explanation, the other guy, he says we're
but the explanation, but the explanation, the simple explanation to that is because he didn't tell them that he's sacrificing
right.
them.
And they didn't
want
to
and then
his
he
didn't upset his son either, right? He only let Yitzchak in on it later on. So, you know, in the simple explanation, it's all about.
But even he says to Yitzchak, Hashem is going to give us something.
Which Rashi says that was just the way that he was trying to hint to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, according to the Pashtus, right, according to the Pashtus, simple explanation, you know, this is where he lets Yitzchak in. I don't know if it's so clear to make an indication that he thought it wasn't going to happen. Okay. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when Avram was walking with Yitzchak to do the Akedah, that the Satan appeared to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Satan basically said to him, the Gemara brings that, the Satan quotes a pasuk from the book of Eos, in which the point is that the Satan is saying to Abraham, you know, you can't be doing this. You know, if you go ahead and you bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice, you will undermine everything you ever tried to do. All the kindness and belief in Hashem and fighting against human sacrifices, which Abraham was strongly trying to do, you're going to undermine everything that you did. You're going to undermine everything that you did. So what are you doing? That's what Gemara says. So the question is, like, so what's Abraham's response is, I need a simile life. I go with my faith in Hashem. But what did his son think? What did his son think? Avram has a choice? I mean, Avram received a Nevuah prophecy that says, bring your son for a sacrifice. She says to Avram, you know, you're going to undermine everything. And therefore what? So we could explain, similar to what we said last week, about many of the tests of Avraham, that in essence, Avraham doesn't have a choice, yes or no, but the question is, does he do it wholeheartedly or not? Does he do it begrudgingly, or to some level of, with some level of difficulty, or does he do it wholeheartedly? So the Satan is trying to, you know, he's throwing bombs at him. You know, he's trying to disrupt him. He's trying to get him to do it begrudgingly. You know, Avraham, you realize you're undermining everything? And Avraham is going to say, well, you know, I don't have a choice. But that means he's not doing it wholeheartedly. Avraham's response says, I need to see me Eilat. I'm going with my full faith. Am I undermining? Maybe. But the Rebbe Shlomo tells me to do it, I have my full faith in Hashem. That's how we could learn this Gemara.
So Yitzchak in 36 knew that it was going to be sacrificed?
Eventually he did. Not right away.
But he wasn't sacrificed until he was 37. He was 37 years old, but he said at 36.
Yeah, it's a good point. You usually say 37. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Also, Avram is worried because when he's thrown into the fire, if he dies, he's finished. Here, he has to worry about Sarah because he'll still be...
He's got a lot of things to worry about. He's got to worry about the fact that Rabbeinu Shlomo made him a promise that you're going to have a whole new nation, and what's happening now? Yitzchak Yechai Lechazar, it's all going to be through Yitzchak. Now Yitzchak's being sacrificed. So Avram has plenty of challenges. But the Gemara says that the Satan challenges him by saying, you're going to undermine everything. So Matisyo brings an explanation from Eber Lapian to explain what the Satan was doing and the test of Avram in the following way. And he gives a mushal. A parable. You have a king, and the king has an advisor very beloved to him. And like in all these stories, right, there are other advisors that are jealous of the favorite advisor. And they tell the king that this advisor is only nice to you. He's just trying to soften you up. He's a faker. And really, he's waiting for the time to kill you and take over the kingdom. That's why he's nice to you. He's just trying to weaken you, trying to make you not alert with him, and eventually he's going to kill you. So the king decides that he's going to try to settle these complaints once and for all. And he basically orders that they should heat up this whole cauldron of tar. And the tar is boiling, and he calls over this advisor in front of everyone, and he says, I command you to pour this over my head. I demand you pour this over my head. Now, if the advisor has his plans to get rid of the king, what a perfect chance. Perfect chance. He can get rid of the king and say, the king told me to do it. I listened to the king. Or the advisor can turn around, as he does in the story, and he says, Your Highness, I'll do anything you want. Anything you want. But this I can't do. And if it even means I lose my head because of this, I lose my head. I love you too much. The Satan was trying to tell to Avraham, Avram, don't you realize what you're going to be doing here? All the honor you brought to the Rabbeinu Shalom now, kaput, it's finished. The Rabbeinu Shalom can't be asking you to kill your son. Can't be. It can't be. It must be really that he's challenging you like the king in the parable. He really wants to see how much you love him. Are you ready to give up your life so as not to bring a desecration to Hashem's name? Because that's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to happen here. So your test here really is to show the Rebbeinu Shalom how willing you are to refuse what he tells you to do and be willing to die for it so as not to undermine his honor. Avraham Avinu says, Ani besumi elech. I go with faith. No. The Rebbeinu Shalom told me a mitzvah. This is what he told me. This is what I do. I don't start taking Hashem's commandment and start twisting it around. That's not how a mitzvah from the Rebbeinu Shalom works. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives me a mitzvah. The mitzvah says, do it. That is what I do. What's going to be with everything? What's going to happen that Hashem's honor is going to be undermined? That's the Rebbeinu Shalom. Ani besumi elech. I go with my full faith in Hashem, I do what he wants. The results of it, so to speak, that's in the hands of the Rabbi Nishalayim. So that's how Rabbi Leo Lapian explained the test of Abraham. Now we add something else from Episcio, actually, and doesn't go into length in this, but he still has a question that if we're going to learn like this, if we're going to learn that Abraham, that the Satan was trying to tell Abraham, you got it all wrong. The Rosh Hashanah was telling you to do something, but really doesn't want you to do it. But the Sierra has a problem with that. Many commentaries have a problem. Well, he has a problem that this is a nevuah. Abraham received a nevuah from the Rabbi Nishalayla. Received a nevuah. A Navi is supposed to understand what his prophecy is. If a Navi is given a prophecy, then the Navi understands the prophecy. And if he understands the prophecy, then there really shouldn't be a place to go ahead and say, you know, really, he means the opposite. You know, by human being, you can say that. That doesn't make sense by nevuah, by a prophecy. By a prophecy by definition has to be something that the Navi can understand. Not to take the words and drain around. The words, if he has the words, and Abraham understands the words in a certain way, it doesn't make sense to say, no, the words really mean something else. In a case in Navua, that shouldn't hold true. Seemingly it shouldn't hold true. It's a good explanation. Now, it's a good way of explaining how Avram could have found an excuse not to listen. But when it comes to a nevuah, that means it's a communication from Hashem that you're supposed to, the Navi is given the ability to understand. So it shouldn't be that, you know, the words mean one thing and really it's something else and the Navi wouldn't realize that. So he explains it like this. And he cites an explanation given by Rav Shach Zatzal that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was the clearest. The Rabbi Shalom spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu pal-peh, right? Pal-peh the Rabbi, like one friend to another. Moshe Rabbeinu received prophecy in its clearest form. Other prophets received prophecy in a dream, in a vision, where the prophet sees, is given a vision, and he has to interpret it. But he's given the ability to interpret it. That's what it is when you're a Navi. When you're a Navi, you rise to the level that you'll receive this communique from the Rabbi Nishalaylam and you'll be able to interpret it. That's how Nevuah works. As a matter of fact, the Derech Hashem talks about how when you're first starting to become a Navi and you're getting used to it, you can make big mistakes. And he cites a lot of examples of prophets who misinterpreted the prophecy. It's possible to misinterpret a prophecy because, like anything else, you have to learn, you have to, when you're becoming a prophet, it's not just, well, I raise myself to a high level and Hashem speaks to me. You have to learn how to interpret the prophecy. It's part of a process. We can assume Avraham Avinu reached that level of being able to process the prophecy. But because a prophecy, if you're not Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to process the prophecy. And again, you're given that knowledge, but it's your knowledge that you're using to interpret. If you have a bias, you could misinterpret. If you have a bias, Avraham Avinu this is the perfect scenario, the perfect storm for having a bias of how to interpret. That Avraham Avinu could actually interpret it to mean the opposite, because since Avraham Avinu's prophecy is on the left, not a level of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not in the clearest form. It needs interpretation. And yes, a Navi is given the power, the ability to interpret. But again, it's his interpretation. It was possible for Abraham, because of the fact that it meant giving up his son, that he would possibly misinterpret it. He could find some way of interpreting it differently than what seems. Abraham Avinu, though, rose beyond that. He rose beyond that bias. And therefore, he interpreted with the purity of thought. So the Sultan is trying to tell him, no, Abraham, you got it wrong. No, you got it wrong. You're misinterpreting it. You're misinterpreting it, you know? It needs interpretation, and you're misinterpreting it. And it doesn't make sense otherwise. How can you be saying this explanation? And Abraham realizes, no, the Satan is trying to convince him to misinterpret. He knows exactly what Hashem wants. And therefore, he says, "Ani b'simi elech. I go with my complete faith. You ask a question to me, what's going to be with everything? I put my faith in Hashem. I do my part, the rest is in Hashem's hands." just want to conclude with the words of the Ramban. At the end, after Hashem tells Abraham that he should not slaughter Yitzchak, so Hashem says, this is on page 104, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Kivarech Avarechecha, I shall surely bless you, v'haba aber zaracha k'chayich v'yashamayim, and I shall multiply your children like the stars of the heaven, v'chachor v'asher afas hayaman, like the sand by the sea, v'yirash zaracha eshar oyevav, and your children shall inherit the gates of his enemies. So the Ramban says, Yan asher asis ha'davar hazeh, because you did this thing, I've already got a promise. The promise of having children like the stars of the sky and the sand by the sea. I haven't got that promise already. But now, because of what Avraham Avinu was ready to do, the Rebbeinu Shalom added, because you did this great act, Shenishma b'shmei ha-godol, the Rebbeinu Shalom swore by his name, Sheyirash zari eshar oivav. The addition now is that your children shall inherit the gates of his enemies. V'nei huftach shoei yigrem shum chet. The Rebbeinu Shalom that promised to Abraham that there will be no sin, sheyichal zari, that will destroy his children. Or sheyipo b'yad ovav le'yokam. Or that because of some kind of sin, his children would fall in the hands of the enemies and never rise up again. This is the promise in the future redemption for us. By Avraham Avinu passing the test of the Akedah, the Rebbeinu Shalom now, when he promised him that you'll be like the stars of the sky, like the sand of the earth, your children shall inherit the gates of the enemies, it means to say no sin will ever destroy the Jewish people. No sin will ever give the Jewish people into the hands of their enemies to the point that they'll never be able to rise again. That is what Abraham accomplished with Akedah Yitzchak.
Yeah, it sounds like that was the other one.